09, I think.
Oh, 09. Might have been 04, 05.
Okay.
And Buster Douglas was there. He was really generous with his time. Yeah, and was just telling stories and reminiscing. It was really, really good. Nice guy. And he was heavyweight champion of the world this day 3 decades ago.
Pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Pretty crazy stuff. But yeah, I mean, most of my childhood was just, I, by the way, since I've been talking about Mike Tyson's punch out, I am convinced to this day, the second Piston Honda is the best fighter in the game. Old school NES players will know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The first Piston Honda, you can beat him. The second Piston Honda, the best, the most complete fighter in the entire game.
Those of us who grew up with the arcade version Punch-Out before Mike Tyson
Mr. Dream.
Called, Mr. Sandman.
Oh, well, Sandman is in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Well, this, we
Sandman
would fight
after
the fight track for the arcade version. If you still go to like headquarters or Emporium, it's there. And one of the duck things of the joystick was broken, so I got screwed. But it was Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull, Kid Quick, Pizza Pasta, and Mr. Sandman.
I mean, it is the like the most, like, it's one of the most racist games ever. I
it's
mean,
not good.
No.
Glass Joe is from France.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh.
He's from France,
oh, so
and
he's
he doesn't really put up a fight.
Mm. Uh-huh. He's constantly walking backward, waving a white handkerchief.
Don Flamenco is from Madrid,
okay,
and he does flamenco dancing.
How about how Vodka Drunkinski had to become Soda
Popinski? Yes, yeah. You've got all that stuff. And then there's Tiger, right? Is that one of the fighters?
The Inscrutable Asian?
Quick is in there.
Yeah,
looking
Kid
through the list
Quick
right now.
Is a minstrel show.
I bet you'll never guess where Pizza Pasta is from.
give me a second on that.
Queens? No.
Bear Hugger?
Yeah, but it is.
No,
that's Super Punch Out.
Yeah, that's a different game. But if you go through the old school Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Mike Tyson's Punch Out, 87. It's Don Flamenco, King Hippo, Mike Tyson, Mr. Dream, Piston Honda, and Von Kaiser, who was a 42-year-old German boxer from Berlin.
Is he wearing the spiked helmet?
I mean,
no, but he does have a mustache that does a little. And then with Tiger, is it Kaiser? Not there's one called Tiger where he's got a turban on, and you have to watch the stone in the turban for when you're going to.
Great Tiger.
Great Tiger.
The 29-year-old Indian boxer from Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And there's one, is it Super Punch Out for NES where one of the guys is Bob Marley? It's supposed to be Bob Marley. And he does like a whole, like,
what kind of fight is he going to put up? One Love, man.
He's like, he comes in swaggering and all this stuff.
God, Super Punch Out has Aaron Ryan. Like, come on.
An Irishman?
Yeah, he's an Irishman, but Aaron Ryan. I mean, that's just good Lord.
Yeah, they were all.
I'm not finding the Bob Marley guy. I'm not saying he's not on there. I'm scrolling through.
On Super Punch Out.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't have a Jaime Goldfarb in there doing something.
I found it. Bob Charlie.
Bob Charlie.
Kingston, Jamaica. Okay. His only appearance is in the SNES version of Super Punch Out.
And he would have like Jamaica. He had like cut off shorts, and he's
that's terrible.
He had shreds, and like they called him Bob Charlie.
I love this.
It's so great.
It's
super racist.
In his write up, his look and name are references to the reggae legend Bob Marley.
Oh, thanks.
Really?
Thanks
really?
For that.
Needed that.
I couldn't have figured that one out on my own. Thank you.
Yeah, it's even in the artwork too. A lot of the stuff is like some things are some features are a little too exaggerated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like maybe not so much Sandman, but Kid Quick for sure. You're like, yeah, no. We're back to the Anthony Thomas bobblehead.
No, but Sandman, like, he's from the hard scrabble streets of Philadelphia, and like it's a little much. It's a little much.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. You know, I was thinking about that when Dodgeball was on the other day too. Like, what they do with some of the
groups.
Dodgeball teams that they have are a little like, oh, okay. I remember when we could do stuff like this.
Some of that.
Yeah, probably not as okay anymore.
I don't do it, but it's still enjoyable when I watch it. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score or radio.com sports station. They are Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They are here every day, 9 a.m. until noon. I am Lawrence Holmes. here with you from noon until 2 every day. And we have a big, big show planned for you today with a lot of cool guests. Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale right now. So if you want to go, here's how you can do it. NUSports.com. Top of the hour is being brought to you by the fine folks at Four Winds Casino. I love that place in New Buffalo, Michigan. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Like, as I'm doing the mental gymnastics of, well, yeah, if everything goes right and the defense is good, you can probably win with Mitch, right? Like, there's enough quarterback there that if he's schemed up right and things go perfectly for him and the defense takes the ball away and all of that other good stuff, then it can all make sense. But Robert brought up, and it was a really good point, he brought up the idea of why should you have to? Why should you have to live in a place where you're winning with a guy? So can you work on dual planes? And this is one of the questions I have for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Can they work in two different spaces? The space where they are going to give Mitch an opportunity and they are steeling themselves for the reality of if he cannot reach that level. How do you then go about doing it?
Make me a bicycle clown!
Man, we got a killer show in store for you today. I am excited about my guests and the subject matter that my guests are going to talk about. At 12:25, so a little under 20 minutes from now, Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago is going to join me. Why? Casey wrote an incredible piece, an oral history of the 1988 dunk contest between Michael and Dominique. It's so good. I retweeted it. It's at the top of my Twitter. You should read it before he comes on, and we will reminisce and talk some basketball with KC. You know, the good kind of basketball. Layla Rahimi, monthly visitor. We do this once a month with her. She's going to come and hang out with me, and we are Ozzie approved. Ozzie Guillen gave us a shout out on Twitter saying that people should listen when we're together on the radio. And I hear, hear. We love Ozzie on this show. So Layla's going to be here with me at 1 o'clock. Theo Epstein is supposed to speak down in Arizona today. We're hoping before we get off the air that we will have some of that sound, whether it's about Chris Bryant, whether it's about Joe Maddon, which I will get to momentarily, or the future of the Cubs. If we don't have it, the afternoon show, McNeil and Parkins will have it and probably have it in full. The schedule is that around 1 o'clock is when Theo is supposed to talk. But Theo usually goes in depth on some of these issues. So hopefully we'll at least get a little bit of a chunk before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. But we start the show as we start with all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here's your rundown for Tuesday, February 11, 2020. Wilson Contreras spoke to reporters yesterday down in Mesa. And he talked about the idea of being traded.
I talked to my agent a lot, and he told me that this is about business. Even if I get traded, do not think that they don't like me anymore, just because it's the part of the business. So now that I'm here and back in Bruce training, I feel, like I said, I feel blessed to be here and feel blessed to have one more season with the Cubs.
And we'll see if he ends up staying with the Cubs throughout the season. He also talked about Chris Bryant, too, saying that all those guys have to understand the business part of it, but it is a little bit weird. Brandon Morrow, who signed back with the Cubs because he felt obligated to because he didn't pitch last year, says that the whole time he thought he was going to come back to pitch for the Cubs.
That's been the hardest part, you know, working all year and just getting the point where a couple times I felt like maybe I was going to come back. I had the hydro dissection procedure where I thought you know, for a few days that had fixed the problem. It was crazy. They gave me the hydrodissection to clear the nerve a little bit, and I felt great for 5 days, and it kind of all came back. But that was kind of the last, kind of worked as a diagnostic, as in, like, told me, like, that's, you know, if that's going to clear it up, then I should probably have that surgically repaired.
So we'll see if he makes the roster. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, said this about Tyler Chatwood and his attempt to crack the rotation again.
He wants to be that guy. I think he's proven and given himself a lot of opportunities to be in that role. I think going in, he's in my eyes kind of that spot to be that guy. He's going to be a starter program in spring training. As we have with a lot of those guys, it's always important to get them stretched out no matter what. I think you're going to see a lot of, like, Alec Mills as well in that spot. Colin Ray is going to, you know, start some games for us too. So we're going to try to give all these guys, and we're fortunate we have a lot of split squads that are like 5 days apart, so we'll be able to get those guys all in starter rotations. But Chatwood's going to be, you know, ready to go and is really put himself in a good spot to be in that role.
Speaking of the Cubs in the 2019 season, Joe Maddon has opened up his camp for the Angels, also down in Arizona, and he talked about walking away from the Cubs. Here are a couple quotes. Philosophically, Theo needed to do what he needed to do separately. At some point, I began to interfere with his train of thought a little bit. It's not that I'm hard-headed. I'm inclusive. But when I started here, 15, 16, 17, it was pretty much my methods. And then all of a sudden, after the 18 going into 19, they wanted to change everything. There was just, you can say, philosophical differences. But he and I are still good friends, and I like the man a lot. It was just time for him to get someone else and time for me to work somewhere else. That's all. 5 years shelf life in Chicago is almost equivalent to 5 to 10 somewhere else. At the end of the day, man, there's nothing to lament there. That was the most successful 5 years the Cubs have ever had. He ain't lying. So we'll see what Theo has to say on the back end of this. I'm not surprised. I mean, honestly, if you were listening to Joe on this show every week, you didn't have to read that hard between the lines to see what Joe thought about the way things changed going into the 2019 season for the Cubs. I'm hoping I can get a chance to talk with Joe. I'm probably off the record when I get to Arizona next week. Speaking of Major League Baseball, wouldn't you love a little extra playoff action? Doesn't extra playoff action feel great?
A 2-2 to Tomy from Blackburn. A swing and a high fly ball deep center field. Running back Gomez. He's at the track. He's at the wall. Gone. Tomy lights it up. Sox lead 1-0. He's hit his 34th. Straightaway center.
Now, technically, that's part of the regular season because that was game 163, the blackout game. Is it weird that game sticks more in my mind than the World Series games? Is that weird?
The World Series was a blur. That whole playoff for me was a blur.
Well, the playoffs themselves, like, I think a lot about the Duque getting out of the jam against Boston, obviously Konerko's grand slam, and then the crazy extra inning game in Houston. But the blackout game, like, as far as special moments as a White Sox fan, that one is, I hold that one in high regard. Because I don't know if I've ever seen the fan base more unified than that night. And the run-up, was it three different division teams in 3 days, right? Didn't they have to beat the Tigers, the Twins, and
Royals, right?
No, and the Indians, right? What was the last three? They had to beat three different teams. It was a makeup game in there, too.
I 100% know it's the Tigers because that's Freddie Garcia was dealing. Then he got hurt, put quotes on that, and the White Sox took over. I think the Royals were part of this. And then they had to beat the Minnesota Twins.
It's crazy. Like, that whole week, I was doing Bears pregame that week, that Sunday night. That Sunday afternoon, and it was just bananas. God, and the blackout game itself was like, that was, I don't know if as a unit, as a White Sox fan unit, we have ever been more unified.
Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota. And it was just great. Maybe the Royals were the series before that. But it was just bizarre.
Two series before that, because they lost five in a row before those three to end the season.
Right. They hit the skid, and everyone thought for sure they weren't going to go. And then you end up with, you have to win the makeup game. You've got to beat three teams in your division to get yourself into the playoffs. Walking into the ballpark that night, I'll never forget that. Never. It was an amazing, amazing feeling. Anyway, I say all that because Major League Baseball is thinking about expanding the playoffs. That they want to go from five teams aside to seven teams aside. And then there's some talk that they will let the number one seed pick who they want to play and the higher seeds pick who they want to play before you get to the divisional round.
And a game like that, the 163, would still happen because you need to determine who's the division person.
Correct.
But
it carries more weight.
Yeah, the Twins would play the next day and it wouldn't matter.
Well, the Twins are always going to end up playing the Yankees. And then they're going to get swept.
Yeah, the Yankees at the end of the year, they'll have a two-game lead with a three-game set left. So they won't want to be the number one team, so they don't get that bye. They're like, okay, let's lose these next three.
Minnesota.
So we can pick Minnesota. They're like, Minnesota. Like, who would you want to pick? Minnesota.
Like, you guys aren't even in yet. Minnesota.
Before or after they beat Oakland?
Well, no, but usually before. Usually it's before they beat Oakland, and then they go and beat Oakland. That's usually how it all goes. I'm all for this. I am for the idea of, look, I'm someone who grew up loving and playing baseball. I love summertime. I love going to games. They could cut the season down to 100 games, and I'd be fine with it.
And in the playoffs, I don't know why we need game separation, especially if they're proposing this with all the teams being, the three games being at the home team's place. Don't need to have a travel day in between.
Yep.
They play like 20 games in a row during the season, and then the playoffs, it's like, we got to get three or four games in between the game three and four.
I guess it's because you want the best baseball possible, and I'm for that. But to me, there are people complaining like, oh, well, now baseball is going to go to November. You remember the last November World Series? You loved it. So who cares if it's... But if you have to decide on one part of the tradition that you don't want anymore. We've already moved away from, you know, you winning your division and going to the league championship series. We've moved away from that. So you got to decide if you want the 162 or do you want the expanded playoffs? Because I would prefer that they lessen the game. Like 150 would be fine, but you can go all the way down to 100 for me. And expand the playoffs all you want. I don't care. As long as nobody's banging on garbage cans. Or maybe they are. All right, so that is your rundown for Tuesday, February 11, 2020. I really, really hope that you stick around for the next segment. The reason why is that Casey Johnson did this deep dive into the 1988 Slam Dunk Championship between Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. He talked to damn near everybody involved in this whole thing, and he did a whole story on it for NBC Sports Chicago. With the All-Star Game coming back to Chicago, the dunk contest coming back to Chicago, it was a good time to revisit one of the classic moments in NBA history, Jordan versus Neek. I'm going to talk with KC about his piece and maybe a little bit about the 2020 Bulls if we get bored. We'll do that next here on The Score.
The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
Hey, guys.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey, guys. Good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/me. That's right. Free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/me. That's forhims.com/me for your free online visit. Forhims.com/me.